This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Wint, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, and by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And 3 weeks from today, we will be recapping the first week of high school football.
Believe it or not, it's here. Let the fun times begin.
You know it. And, of course, we'll be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. So another full high school football season. Doesn't seem possible. It starts 3 weeks from yesterday.
Well, let's see. We'll probably have 3 or 4 weeks of 90-plus temperatures. And then autumn will arrive quickly, and then it'll be pretty darn chilly for the rest of the way, I suspect.
Yeah, I think game time, it'll probably be 98 or 100.
That's not bad.
No. After that, why?
Well, that's the nice thing about football. If you go all the way to state, you start practice in the heat of the summer and wind up in the cool of fall.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of like baseball.
Unless you're a Cubs fan.
They won't. For long, baseball season won't get over till Thanksgiving.
That's right. See, they can give all their big players a discount because they only have to play 5 months.
Yeah.
They take September off.
Yeah. And they was kind to Dempster. They let him go somewhere else. You know,
he's gonna have to adjust to that pesky month of September.
That's right. Called him, general manager called him in and said, "You got a reprieve, you're leaving the Cubs."
And he said, "Thank you."
Oh, my. Well, today we have a room full of guests with us, which during the summertime we seem to be able to take advantage of the situation where the high school is, of course, not in session, and we can talk about various subjects. Mary Hammersley has joined us in studio along with Shelley Crawford, Jessica Chapelier. These folks are associated with the history of Lincolnwood High School volleyball, which actually started back in the fall of 1974. So it was this 74-75 school year. Is that right, Mary?
It started in 75.
75, 75, okay.
Played in the winter of 75 and for, I think, 3 years we played in the winter, and then they switched us to the fall.
Oh, okay. So the seasons were different then. Oh, okay. Well, I was out of high school. I had just graduated from high school at that point, but I knew that the program had started. And, of course, along with all sorts of other things, you have conflicts with gym time and stuff like that. Back then, though, you still had the old gym that you could probably use from time to time. I don't know. Did you ever have the right to do that, or did you?
The very first year when I had 42 kids out, they sent us to the grade school gym and said, "Here's your badminton net. You can practice across this way, and maybe you'll get to the high school gym a night or two before your games."
Yes. Times have changed.
Times have changed. Title IX is what got us all started.
Mm-hmm. Which we talked about extensively last week. We had a room full of folks, and everybody that's in with us today will attest to the fact that Title IX has worked and worked very well, and it's one of the better things that has happened as far as changing the landscape of athletics, not only in the United States, but I think it was a worldwide thing, because until the United States did it, the rest of the world didn't pay much attention to it. So it did happen, and we're here to talk a little bit about a special night coming up. First off, preview night for the Lincolnwood High School volleyball team. They always have a preview night. It is coming up on Friday the 17th, and Coach Dill will be able to have the orange-black or orange-and-white game, whatever they decided to dress in these days.
I think their uniforms now are white and black.
Okay. It's whatever it happens to be. But also that night, what's really kind of special is the fact they're going to be bringing back former volleyball players. Shelley Crawford, why don't you kind of fill us in a little bit about what's going to be going on that night?
Okay, I can do that, Terry. on Friday, August 17th, first we're going to start out with a little dinner, pulled pork sandwiches and the fixins from 5 to 6:30, and Karen and Phil Borgic will be making the pork, so you know it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Pork producer himself.
Exactly. The preview for the current Lincolnwood team will start at 6:30, and then around 7 o'clock we'll have an alumni presentation and scrimmage of the alumni. And afterwards we're going to have some cake and punch and just reminisce. We're going to have a video presentation. People have been sending in pictures for the video, and Linda Brown has been working diligently on that. And we hope people come out, enjoy it.
What's the process for anyone who wants to get involved? How do they get involved?
Well, we have some flyers up, you know, in our community. They can call, I guess they could call the school even to get a hold of Kimberly Denny or Coach Dill or myself even. They can just show up that night. That would be the best thing.
Yeah, you know, that's cool. Yeah, just show up.
Okay. We are going to have commemorative T-shirts available. We're taking orders now, or they can purchase them that night too. And if they want to do that, Kimberly Denny is in charge of that, and we have her email address for that.
And it's on the website, by the way.
It's on the website,
so, yeah,
yes.
You can go to our website, wsmiradio.com.
And so, if you looked at the flyer, Terry, you noticed they have the front and the back of the T-shirt that they've designed. It says, Bleeding Orange and Black Since 1974, Lincolnwood Lancers. On the back, it has all the winning seasons. And there are a lot here. There are like 20 years of winning seasons. Mm. And we have different things that denote, like regional champions, sectional champions, and then, of course, the Elite Eight.
The Elite team. Eight, that's right. And we have to go back to Mary Hammersley, who was the person that got all this started. Tell us a little bit about the conversations you had, Mary, and kind of reminisce with us a little bit. We did a little bit of this last week, and kind of fill us in how it came about and what it took, and some of your perceptions now as you look back on equality and the you know how you struggle for uniforms and stuff like that.
I can certainly do that. It all started. I went to a summer school class for volleyball and basketball because SIU was trying to promote girls' sports, and I do believe that there were very few schools that played in 74. And when I came back, I said to Ron McIntyre, what's the possibilities of us starting a team? He said, oh, I see no problem with starting a team, but the problem is we can't buy uniforms, we can't buy knee pads, and you're not going to get paid. Oh, okay. So we had a sign up.
And that's all?
Yeah, all of that.
And he said, well, we can get a new net and about eight balls. Okay, we can do that. So we started and we went to the grade school gym and we played across badminton nets, and then we moved to the high school before games to get a little practice in. But the major thing that was different there was we played across one half of the gym, not across the whole gym. And sometimes the net didn't stay up good because they didn't want to put the wires to attach it to the wall. So then we got a little...
So you had a drooping net.
A very much drooping net. And I realized how...
And heaven forbid, we didn't want to attach it to the basketball goal, you know, to support it.
But I really realized how droopy it was when I've been going through the pictures that I've been trying to send to Linda Brown. Then you really notice it. But I think like the third or fourth year, we finally got a new net set up, and that came about in a different way. I had a night class, and Fred Rossi said, boy, these nets and poles are hard to set up. And he's on the floor trying to line it up. And I said, yes, it is. And next month, I was told they would be ordering a new net set up that would drill in. They'd go into the floor, and it was it was really a blessing because they were so much easier to put up.
What kind of an interest did you have, Mary, early on as far as the number of girls? And how did you judge the interest before you went to Mr. McIntyre? Being involved in PE and everything, you kind of had an idea who might be interested?
I pretty much had an idea, but I didn't have an idea that there would be 42. So, and by about mid-season, we were down to 38, which I didn't think was very, you know. And the one group of kids, they called themselves the C Team. I did not name them. They named themselves. And we tried to play as many kids as we could. We played games before, sometimes games after. And we tried to get some Saturday games for the Fresh South. And bit by bit, our schedule just kept increasing because I figured the only way you're going to get any better is to play the better schools. And the more games that the IHSA said you could play, that's what we did. And then along about, well, I can't even remember when, they really upped our games, but they upped our tournaments. And that really increased the number of games that you could play or matches that you could play because they went to round robin. That meant you played everybody that was there. So you just keep tallying more matches and lots more teams that you wouldn't normally play just on a Saturday. So those games might last from 9 o'clock to, I think some of them have been known to go to 8:30 or 9 at night to finish. But it was a great experience to be able to play all those different teams.
And the schedule basically grew from about 20 to 22 games now into well into the 30s, I think, as the years have gone along. I think you had there were a couple of Lincolnwood teams that won over 30 games in a season.
Yes, that's correct.
So obviously you're allowed to play more games, and as you mentioned, the tournaments. And basketball is doing the same thing now where you're limited to X number of regular season games, but you can be involved in one, two, or three tournaments and that sort of thing.
And that's really was a great idea because of the travel time and how late they would get back, but if you took a Saturday and you could play four or five games on a Saturday, which volleyball lends itself to the capabilities of strength and endurance, that they could do that. But it was really great to play those tournaments because that's what brought about a lot of the camaraderie and friendship, and the parents and the community really got behind the kids on those Saturday games.
We're talking about high school volleyball. Ralph, go ahead real quick.
No, I just was going to make a comment off away from volleyball. Speaking of Phil Borgic, I just wanted to remind everybody that if you take the Prairie Farmer and look inside it this month, there's a very good article on Phil. Very good article.
And most of it's probably true.
Well, I saw some things in there. Maybe it wasn't. No, Phil.
Good friend of ours.
It's,
terrific.
It's a good article.
He surprised me, Uncle Ralph. I didn't think you were going the compliment route.
Yeah, well, I surprised you.
Man with the sharpest elbows, I tell you.
Yeah,
sharp elbows. Tell you what, we need to take a break. Sports Saturday rolls on right after these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield, 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:19, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some showers or thunderstorms. Expect highs in the upper 90s. Cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. Still a chance for some rain. We'll have lows in the 70s. And then for tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy, expect a high Sunday in the low 90s. Right now at 9:20, we have a temperature reading of 81 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:21, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
We're talking high school volleyball, in particular Lincolnwood and the preview night and alumni game that's coming up. But a couple other things we might remind you about, of course. The Nokomis Memorial Park is the site of the state men's fast pitch softball tournament this weekend. The Nokomis Central Illinois Knights are the defending champions. They are hosting the tournament this weekend at Memorial Park, and things should conclude on Sunday night, unless we get rain. There was a little rain
Possible.
Out there showing up on radar, so that's going on at Nokomis, and they do have the big bracket drawn out at the park house there, so you can keep track of when these particular teams are playing. So also our friends from Greenville, they have the Chamber of Commerce golf tournament coming up on Labor Day. If you need more information about that, contact our buddy John Goldsmith at 664-9272. We're talking about the alumni game coming up and the alumni night activities. Shelley, with you being part of this Lincolnwood and Jessica being part of this Lincolnwood program, tell us a little bit about what it meant to you. Being a member of the volleyball team and some of your favorite memories.
Oh, well, you know, it's been years ago. my biggest
that means you can lie more.
exactly. You know, I had a great time. I loved playing volleyball. I still love it. It's probably why I still coach. Of course, my favorite time was 1985. We went to the state tournament. I remember it was at Eastern Illinois University. We were all disappointed because until that time it had been held in Springfield at the Convention Center. And here we had to go all the way to Eastern. But it was great.
But Eastern wasn't that far. I mean, it was an hour and a half.
I know. And we got to stay all night. Hey, yeah, that was, you know. But I remember walking out onto that floor in that gym. It was just awesome. And we had a good match, and we had some ups and downs in it, and I still remember having match point. Three of us put our serves in the net.
And you got to remember, this was one class back then, was it? Wasn't it? I mean, there was.
It was a two-class system.
2A. Okay.
And we were 1A.
Okay.
And I mean, we played what would now be 2 or 3A teams. Mm-hmm. You know, since there's a 4-class system.
Do you remember the teams you battled along the tournament trail?
I think we beat Hillsboro to win the regional. We beat Waverly in the sectional. We beat Easton in the super sectional, which we played in Carlinville, so I have very fond memories of that. And I cannot remember the team we played.
We played Eureka.
Eureka.
Okay. Yeah.
And they had been there the year before, if I'm correct, and they went the year after that. So.
Oh, okay. So they had kind of a juggernaut there in that era.
Yeah. Had a good program going. Yes.
Yeah.
What was the turnout like during that year?
Oh, it was great. I mean, we had lots of fans. I just remember when we started to be in the tournament, you know, I remember being in Carlinville, and we had all these boys dressed up in orange ponchos, and they had their faces painted, and, you know, and our parents had on orange and black, and we had different businesses that made us T-shirts and sweatshirts and sweatpants and everything, you know, and we had quite a crowd.
Part of Americana. In a little town, it's kind of Hoosier-esque, if you can relate to the movie Hoosiers, and how little towns kind of get behind their behind their school.
And one of the things I do remember, and I still have this article, it was in the State Journal Register, they called us Babes in the Woods. Because we were such a surprise team. You know, they just, it was like they didn't.
Normally they call them Cinderellas, but
yeah,
Babes
I don't know.
In the Woods.
It'd
be a little bit of an uproar if they had that headline today.
I think.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, the would. ACLU would be probably looking for a lawsuit someplace along the way. So. Yeah.
But I mean, it was a great time. We worked harder. I felt like we worked hard. And we got along well, all of us, and we had lots of exciting times. We tried hard. We, you know, did a lot of things together, and we had a successful season, and it's something that I'll always remember, and I still brag about it today. What can I say?
You should.
I really like that banner.
It's one of those been there, done that. Okay?
Exactly.
And Jessica Chapelier, you were part of a hugely successful team as well.
Yes.
It was your senior year, wasn't it?
My senior year, but it actually started, we started in junior high. We went to state both years in junior high. Then when we got to our freshman year of high school, a lot of us actually played up on the varsity team. Then by the time we were seniors, we'd all played together. There was six of us that were from my class, and my sister Erin played with us to kind of make up the seven that really played the most. And that year, my senior year, we were 35-2. We had to beat Hillsboro. We were in the two classes still, and we had to beat Hillsboro. They were our big rivals. We played them a couple times that year. Beat Carlinville. We played them a couple times that year, and then we got beat by Breeze Central in the Super Sectionals
and
that
Nokomis
year.
And Nokomis that year.
So someone by, you know, we had a great season that year, and I think, like Shelley said, the best thing was we got along so well. We'd played together for so long. The six of us or seven of us had played pretty much, you know, all through high school together, just us, and so by our senior year, we kind of just had that attitude that we weren't intimidated, you know, by anybody. We were ready to play no matter who it was, versus our junior year or sophomore year, we kind of got psyched out by the, you know, the some of these other teams, and we beat Mount Pulaski at Mount Pulaski that year.
And Mount Pulaski had won a state tournament, by the way, so they were very, very good.
And that year, Mount Pulaski got second in the state to Breeze Central, and we lost to Breeze Central in the Super Sectionals, but beat Mount Pulaski in the regular season, so... Had a great year that year. That's some of our best memories.
Between the three of you, you kind of have spanned several decades here. I'm just curious to get your guys' thoughts on the effect that junior high volleyball has had on the high school level and just how big of a difference it makes whenever you can get organized teams at the lower levels like that.
Oh, I mean, I think it's tremendous. I think for us, we started out with camps in third, fourth, fifth grade, and then went to junior high, and We'd done some of those camps. We went to state. We actually played some teams in high school. Litchfield actually didn't have junior high volleyball. And so when we played them in high school, they were kind of at that junior, where we were at in junior high. And it was completely different. I mean, junior high is where it all starts. And now you see all these sports that are starting out, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. And they're even trying to do that with volleyball now. And so it's just becoming a part of volleyball that if you don't have it at that junior high level, you're just not going to be able to compete at the high school level. Very important.
There are a lot of skills in volleyball, and some people don't realize how hard it is to learn this sport. I mean, there's a lot to it, and the younger you can start, the better off. It's not something you can just pick up.
No.
And so, yeah, anytime you can get them in a gym or just touching a ball, you know, you're doing a great service.
Mm-hmm. And you ladies have a different aspect on things. For instance, yesterday I'm sitting there watching the Olympics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What was I watching?
Volleyball.
Yeah, on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife come through the kitchen. She said, "What are you watching?" I said, "Watching these girls play volleyball." And she looked, she said, "Yeah, I see what you're looking at."
You know. Well, that's only because she knows younger, Ralph.
Besides what they were wearing, Ralph, there are a lot of skills involved. And when you go from playing six on a court to playing two on a sand court, it's a completely different game. Mm-hmm.
I would think that beach volleyball would just exhaust you to no end. Just two of you, mm-hmm. and that loose sand and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would think your conditioning would have to be just out of this world.
Mary Hammersley, when you started, you were teaching the fundamentals at the high school level. But as the years went along, a lot of those fundamentals were in place once the kids got to high school, correct?
Yes, they were. In the first 2 years, we would go to matches, and the kids would say, "They're sending the ball back over on the first and second hit." I said, "Doesn't make any difference. We're going to play bump, set, spike, and we're going to play the game the way it's supposed to be." Well, by the time the third year rolled around, they really were playing good volleyball, and they were 24-2, and they lost the sectionals to Sacred Heart. And she was getting a little nervous that they might lose. So that was really exciting, and things really started to pick up after that. And the excitement and the community, I can't say enough about the community and the parents. How much, sacrifice. Volleyball, any sport, is a commitment. And we had a lot of parents and grandparents that totally supported our program. And you can't have a program without that.
They'd never seen a volleyball game before in their life, but after about 3 or 4 years, they understood most everything associated with volleyball.
The one thing that I did try to do was before every season, we would go over the new rules with the parents at the pre-scrimmage night. And probably the biggest eye-opener for some of the parents is when I taught a night class. And I tried to get as many of them as I could so that they would understand just exactly how hard it is to bump a ball to where you want it to go. And I think that in itself was really, really important. And they then encouraged their kids to go to camps and work with clubs, and was really a turnaround for our program.
It's always amazed me, since I've worked here at the station, the support that the surrounding communities that make up Lincolnwood, the support that Lincolnwood High School gets from all corners, it's amazing to me. No matter the sport, the fans are there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I totally agree. Sometimes we could travel 30, 40 miles, and we would have more people in the stands than the home team. Mm-hmm. And that happened night after night.
And when that happens, it just kind of gives the people on the team that little extra boost of energy to think, hey, if they're driving all this way to see us play, we better do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Always adds to the confidence level when people are there watching you. Mm-hmm. It really does make a difference.
What are some of the things that changed as far as the rules and the approach to the game when you were in it, Marion? How many years did you coach?
24.
So you saw things change along the way.
Yes, and most of the changes that occurred were related to the Olympics. Volleyball started in the Olympics in 1964, and basically the bump and the forearm pass was very, very new that first Olympics. So from there, the game has totally evolved. It's very faddish rule-wise. Whatever happens in the Olympics, that seems to be how it follows. They had so many changes. One year you could step on the line, the next year you could step over as long as your whole foot wasn't over, and another year you couldn't step on it at all. And one year they even took away the roof from the block. You couldn't reach over and extend on the net to block your opponent. And those were just really major changes that lasted, or not major, but they lasted 1 year because they realized how they weren't exactly going to promote the game.
And it was in an experimental stage there, because mm-hmm. it was gaining popularity, and they were tweaking it so that it would become a hugely popular sport on the
high
school
level. And they also tweak it to what basically the college is playing. They want to get the players ready. you know, Title IX came in, and it also affected what happened at the college level.
Well, before we went on the air, you guys were kind of talking, and I was surprised to hear you guys aren't necessarily big fans of the rally scoring. Now, I'm a volleyball novice at best, and to me, it makes it more exciting with the rally scoring. But from folks like you who are around volleyball, know volleyball, you say, well, maybe that's not necessarily the case.
I'm going to equate the volleyball rally scoring with the DH and the old-style scoring with no DH in Major League Baseball, because there was a lot more strategy involved before there was rally scoring, correct?
Yes, I really believe that you could actually plan ahead and do some of the strategic things that you needed to do, but in rally score, you know, it's like it could be over before you know it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how the players feel about it, since the only rally scores that we ever played was in tournaments. If you went to a third game, then you played rally score.
That was our thing. Whenever we were in high school, we did the game to 15. Mm-hmm. You served to get your point. But at those tournaments, if you dreaded going three games, because that third game was rally score, and it was such a different game than what we'd played the first two games.
And if a team had just a little bit of momentum, it could have been over in a blink of an eye.
Yeah. And really, I think of rally score, the first person who gets the ball, if you just rally back and forth, that first person who had the ball is going to win, because you just, you know, rally back and forth, and whoever makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to do with the serving. And the thing I don't like is that you don't have to serve for a game point. You know, you can serve into the net and the other team wins the game, you know, now, versus you used to have to serve for your own game point.
Sure. Yeah, it's like you don't earn it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you had to serve to win your points, I mean, you worked hard. You had to do it. And now, I mean, I understand rally scoring. It makes it go faster. I mean, it does.
Go ahead.
Oh, but, you know, like we were talking earlier, sometimes you just can't get a momentum going. I mean, you can't get it going. You might have a little misstep. Well, you've given the other team a point.
And I see exactly what you're saying, but say like in tennis where you get the break point. In a way, it's more of an accomplishment if you win that game on the opponent's serve, because they're in the dominant position. So if you can win the game on the opponent's serve, from my perspective, and again, I don't know anything about volleyball, but I would think you would take more pride in the fact that, hey, we won the game because we broke their serve.
Well, whenever the other team is serving, mm-hmm. you get the first attack on the ball, which is always exciting. I mean, who doesn't want to have that attack? So you can end it on their serve with a big emphasis if you get a kill on the spike. But, you know, if you miss your serve because, you've got the point, you miss your serve in the net, they win, or they miss their serve and you win. I hate to win games like that where the other team misses their serve and you've won the match. I mean, it just doesn't seem right. And for me, it's how it affects the players. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. And if they miss their serve on game point and they hand it over to the other team because they missed their serve, they're down on themselves. And, you know, it's sometimes really hard to bring that player back.
I think it's what you're used to. We're used to the non-rally scoring. Mm-hmm. I have a sister who played during the rally scoring. She hates the other way that we played. It's too boring for her. It takes too much time.
It's generational is what it is. Absolutely.
It is. Yeah. It's just what you're used to, I think, and that's what we were used to.
And we've talked every once in a while about the three-point line, how it has dramatically changed the game of basketball and virtually eliminated the jump shot from the elbow in the post play. I mean, it's all become a perimeter game, and it's not like the basketball we grew up with, and I kind of miss them sometimes.
On the other side of that, I think volleyball is 99% mental once you've learned the skill, and psychologically, if they win, you give them the game on rally score, you're just kind of down for the next game. And it really psychologically, anytime in any sport, can make you a winner or a loser.
The mental aspect of the game, how did you approach that when you first took over, Mary? Obviously, you added more and more each year as the years went along, but how did you, when the game first got introduced at Lincolnwood. What, you know, what was the psyche of the kids, and how did you go about preparing them for a game? Was it just, let's go out in there and have some fun and do the best we can?
First of all, most of them had never played any organized sports, so they didn't have the concept of winning. So you have to instill in them that, you know, become the best you can be, and you need to support your teammates, because if you can't do that, then you're not going to be a winner. It's you can't hide a player on the volleyball court, because they're going to find you.
And you can also look at that from the other standpoint, when you have a group of young ladies or young gentlemen who have never participated in that sport, and you take them and try to mold them into a team, really you're starting from the get-go, because you don't have to wean them away from a lot of bad habits. If they've never
good
played
point.
The game, you know, the bad habits are not there.
That is
so,
exactly.
So you're starting fresh with this young lady or this young gentleman and say, look, this is how the game is played and this is the way we're going to play it.
About what year, though, did you come to the realization, Mary, of it was playing to win versus playing not to lose? You know, that you expected success. Was it the third year? Second year?
Third, fourth year.
And yeah.
Then after that,
things kind of just.
These two girls can tell you that basically I expected them to be able to compete with anybody we went on the floor with. And that was the attitude that we talked about in practice. The good thing about a lot of my teams were that they liked to practice. They came in and they were ready to work. They didn't want to just not practice that day.
You're playing like you practice.
That's
exactly.
Oh, I wish I had a dollar for every time I said that one.
Yes.
And communication is so important in volleyball. So I would imagine to have that coach, so to speak, on the floor is always a big benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And all good teams, as you well know, has that player. And it may not be the best player on the team. Mm-hmm. It's a player who can think things out and can pump everybody else up when they've made a mistake.
And so, like you started in junior high with a group of girls and you went all the way through high school with them. So by the time you're juniors and seniors, you pretty well know each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, that would probably be about the best thing about our team. Everyone would probably say there was no person that was the dominant player. We just, like, I joke with one of the other girls that was an outside hitter with me, Marcy Crawford, that I knew if she was going for a ball, we could basically read each other's minds at that point. We'd played so long together. We knew who was going to take what and what the other person was capable of, and that's what made us successful, is that we gelled together so well. It wasn't that one person was the dominant player. It was just the gelling together and the communication and, like I said, being able to read each other's minds.
And I think the other thing about the winning teams that I coached, they were all friends. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, so to speak, had each other's back. And they really didn't care who had the great night. They just continued to play and put the ball where it needed to go to the person who was having a good night. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get along when there's six people on
right.
a court in a small area, you've got a problem.
Well, and that's the nice thing about sports. Everybody doesn't have to like each other or get along, but it sure does help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sure does help.
You can tell.
Yes.
That was one of mine. I would tell them at the beginning of the season, you leave it at the the locker room door. I don't care who you like. We're here to play. We're here to win. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to bring all this. But you can't keep it all out. You're going to have some of that anyway. But
that was part of making it a classroom, making it an educational part of the educational experience. That's that sort of thing right there.
Yes, that's true. And I also think that the things that they learn from being in sports, that you have to have a commitment, you have to get along with people, you have to take directions from somebody else. I think those are all the things, and I look back at all the players that I had, and they've been so successful, had so many kids graduate from college, and even if they didn't graduate from college, they've done great things in their community. I am very proud of the number of kids that have gone into coaching. I can look at that two ways. They went into coaching because they love the sport. I always told them that you have to give back and coach sure. and teach before you really understand something. And the other part is they thought they could do it a lot better.
And I would imagine
but
that.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's all part of the growing process of the sport and making the sport more popular and even more highly skilled.
And if you've ever played sports in high school or wherever, excuse me, I think we'll all agree sitting around this table that that's part of life's lesson. Playing sports prepares you for whatever you do, as she said, when you get out of school.
Well, you're never going to win every game.
Right.
Absolutely not.
You know, but you're going to go in with the attitude that today I'm going to whip them, even if you don't.
Yeah, you don't win every game in life. Yeah.
And I would imagine you maybe get more satisfaction from seeing how the kids have matured into their adult lives than all the games that you won.
I think these girls can tell you that is definitely true. I try to keep track as many of them as I can. I love looking at Facebook and all their families. And it really is what it's all about.
You were such a pioneer.
Oh, yes.
I've told you that before, but you were a good friend to begin with, but such a pioneer in getting the ball rolling, so to speak, and keeping it going.
When they started all this and they said, well, surely you have pictures and things. Well, I couldn't find them. I looked and I looked, but I knew that I had them. Well, I found them last week. They were in with my family pictures.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, that kind of tells you they were my family.
Absolutely.
And some of the parents and grandparents, just I can't say enough about the friendships you have, and as coaches, all the referees, and you know, it's just amazing.
We laughed last week when we had the ladies in here, some of the older ladies, and we laughed. I said, I remember the first girls' basketball game I went to. I thought, my God, this will never fly.
And flown it has. We need to take another break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday right after these messages.
It's hot outside, but farmer-owned Prairie Farms ice cream is totally cool. Farmer-owned Prairie Farms ice cream in the half-gallon square carton comes in 12 different flavors with seasonal favorites added every year. And for the traditional richness of a premium quality ice cream, Farmer-owned Prairie Farms also makes a dozen old recipe brand flavors. And don't forget the fabulous line of Farmer-owned Prairie Farms sherbet for everyday family enjoyment. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
It's the Animal Stories Anchor Men, Uncle Lair, Little Tubby.
We don't want to alarm you people out there, but there could be a disaster or an emergency that might require evacuation. Do you have a plan to ensure the safety of your pets and livestock? Come on, get on it.
It could be a flood, it could be tornado, earthquake.
It could happen, so get working on that plan right now.
All the info you need is online at ready.illinois.gov.
Oh, that's right, Uncle Lair. That's ready.illinois.gov. Sponsored by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some showers or thunderstorms. Expect highs in the upper 90s. Cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. Still a chance for some rain. We'll have a low of around 70. And then for tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy once again. Expect highs Sundays in the low 90s. At 9:48, we have a temperature reading of 81 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Jim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Ralph, you talk about it all every week. M-O-N-E-Y, money. That's why beach volleyball is in prime time from the Olympics, because babes in bikinis playing beach volleyball, and the sport has increased in popularity since, you know, the last two Olympics, I think.
And the skills are just tremendous.
We're talking with Mary Hammersley, Shelley Crawford, and Jessica Chapelier about the alumni night at Lincolnwood High School coming up on Friday, August the 17th. There's going to be a preview night for the Lancer team that night, and then the alumni. Mary Hammersley, you wanted to remind everybody that it was for everybody that's associated with the volleyball team, and that includes bus drivers, whoever.
Bus drivers, water girls, statisticians, cameramen, just anybody that was involved. So if you hear this or you see the flyers that are out, please contact your family members or have them contact a former player, because we'd sure like to see as many as we can there.
It's kind of a pack the place night, isn't it?
Kind of pack the place night. Yeah. And if you can't come, send a message to someone. Let us know where you are, because there are some players we really, you know, and we'd like to kind of keep up with them.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to being there that night.
Yes, so Terry's going to be our MC for the evening, so we're looking forward to that.
Thank you, Terry.
That's pretty cool. It's a neat thing. So everybody show up. They're going to serve food about 5:00. So
yes,
and get out there and enjoy it.
And if you really are going to show up, I'm sure Phil and Karen would really like to know, so it's make preparation a lot easier.
Just fix a lot, Phil. Fix a lot, okay? Ladies, if you could just stick around for a few minutes, we have a special guest on the phone, our good friend Louie Lang, one of our WSMI weather watchers, but Louie's also an umpire for softball, and after doing the state softball tournament for the IHSA here just last year. He's done numerous national tournaments. Lori, where are you calling from this morning?
Well, I'm calling you from downtown Moline, Illinois.
Moline, Illinois, huh?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful down. Yeah. Is it a little warm and beautiful downtown Moline today?
Well, it's about 95 degrees already, and I'm hitting the field about noon for a noon game, and the heat and humidity is here about like it is in beautiful Coffeen, Illinois. It's been anywhere from 93 to 98 temperature-wise, and, of course, the humidity and the heat with the dirt on the field makes it that much hotter. But it is the 12 and under ASA-USA National Tournament that I'm umpiring this week. I came up on Sunday, and I'll be heading home tomorrow. And I've done 13 games thus far, so it's been a busy week for me.
Louie, has the heat affected the number of games, the heat, I guess, and the economy, affected the number of teams that showed up at the Nationals this year?
Definitely. They were expecting 120 teams, and 83 teams showed up. So I think the economy, you know, has a lot to do with it. But, you know, still the games go on. The umpires still have to umpire. And, you know, we have had about 8 umpires go down because of the heat and health-wise. And a couple of them have been sent home, you know, due to the extreme heat. But, you know, living in beautiful central Illinois with the heat and humidity the way it's been this year, I have been able to hold my own, thank the Lord, and, you know, I'm ready to hit the field again at noon today.
Louie, when you go out to umpire a game such as today and temperatures possibly could hit the century mark, have you got anything special you do for your own self to prepare for this kind of heat?
Well, a week before I started coming up here, I started drinking a lot more Gatorade and a lot more fluids, non-alcoholic beverages, of course, but, you know, to get my body ready. And before you go on the field, you drink. And, you know, on the field, they do let you take your thermos, and because you do definitely want to keep hydrated, you know, due to the extreme heat.
Well, are there any subtle differences between the softball you umpire here versus the high school or IESA level? Any rule changes? Anything a little bit different?
Well, yeah, of course, you're playing the Amateur Softball Association rules, which, of course, you know, they are a little bit different than the IHSA. But, you know, you just have to determine what field of play you're on and determine what rules you're going by. And, you know, I thank the Lord that they all come back to mind on what age group and what category you're umpiring.
Do you have a four-man crew, or how many people you got in your crew? Three? Two?
Well, it starts out on Monday and Tuesday. You do a two-man crew. That's a round-robin type deal. Pool play is what they call it. And then starting Wednesday, you start bracketing, and you do go to a three-person, because we do have some women up here officiating. So we actually go to a three-person crew on Wednesday through Sunday.
Well, that's good. It's, you know, we have talked with you several times about getting people involved in officiating, and it's good to see the female side pick up a little on this.
Oh, definitely, because, you know, just for IHSA, we definitely need, you know, people to umpire. I was looking at my junior high schedule, and I come home on Sunday, and I start my junior high schedule on Tuesday. So, I mean, junior high baseball and softball is, it's knocking on my door.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, Louis, stay cool where you are today, and have a lot of fun. I know you always enjoy umpiring, especially at this level, and hopefully you'll have a good weekend and nobody else will go down as far as the heat is concerned. And we look forward to talking to you again down the line.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, people always wonder, well, how many games do they play in, you know, this this Monday through Sunday deal? There was going to be 165 games played up here in that week span.
Yeah, yeah.
And they use 12 different fields. So
it's a national tournament, so 165 games is not out of the realm of possibility. So.
And the championship will be played when?
It'll be played tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
There you go. Louis Lang, one of our weather watchers and our good friend. Louis, thanks for giving us a buzz from Moline, and have a good time today, sir.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. There we go. Louis Lang, one of our friends who calls in, keeps an eye on the weather for us and with our rain totals and such. Coming up next week on the Sports Show, we're going to be talking with some friends from the Illinois High School Association. We've contacted the proper liaison there and hope to have our friends with the IHSA on, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the goings on in the Illinois High School Association, plus some discussion hopefully on why they've continued to tweak whatever you want to call the classifications, where you know, do they have them where they think they're going to end up staying here for a few years, and maybe the success, for example, something we've talked about several times, is the four class system in basketball really working?
Right.
Yeah. We're beginning to have doubts here. At least I am.
I doubted it from the get go.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not real hip on it from get go.
I was willing to give it a shot, and I'm not sure that it's doing what it was supposed to do. But
yeah, I don't think it had that is desired effect, right. But. Maybe they have different numbers that would indicate something different. So we'll get their thoughts next week. So,
we want to thank our special guests today, Jessica Chapelier, along with Shelley Crawford, Mary Hammersley. Ladies, thank you so much. We hope everybody turns out, has a great time on the preview night and the alumni night. And I guess stock up on a little Bengay because you might be a little sore the following day.
Might also say that they don't have to play in the scrimmage game. They can still show up.
That's right. That's true. That's yes. True.
And of course, even though it's an alumni game, you still got to keep score.
We don't right? have to.
You will, though.
And, of course, we still have to work out if we're doing the old side-out scoring or the rallying
scoring.
Well,
I think you ought to do the old-style scoring, personally.
For the alumni game, yeah, that would make sense.
That would just
all I know is it will be competitive.
Yes. Yeah, nobody's going to back off, that's for sure. No, although there will be a lot of laughing and sharing of stories and such. So, and if anybody needs any more information, you can contact Shelley. You can call me, and I can put you in contact with people.
And one other thing, if you do have pictures that you could send to Kimberly Denny or Linda Brown, please try and put the year on them, because it saves us going back to yearbooks, and hopefully that we have the right year. If we have the wrong year and it's on Facebook, please let us know.
And of course, the yearbooks, you're limited. You only get maybe two or three pictures on a page, and that's about it. And so that might be a little difficult.
Well, in looking through some of the yearbooks, there weren't action shots in some of the older ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you might want to see if you can find that first net that sagged a little.
And burn it. And burn it.
No, they would like to play on it now.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because that net's going to look pretty tall.
Yeah. Also, for some of the people who can't come due to locations or other previous engagements that they have done an excellent job of having a Facebook page for this. And they've got pictures from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. They've got them separated by year. Mm-hmm. And so it's full of pictures, names of the people. So if you can't come to the night event, you can see the pictures.
And even the styles for volleyball uniforms have changed dramatically.
Dramatically.
They can find that on Lincolnwood Lancer Volleyball on Facebook. Is that correct?
All righty.
And Football Friday is right around the corner.
Oh, diggity dog.
Before we know it.
It's about time.
When does the high school volleyball season officially start? Right around start of school.
It'll be after the preview night that next week.
Okay. Yeah. Right around the corner as well.
Yes.
We are out of time. Jessica Chapelier, Shelley Crawford, Mary Hammersley, great to see you. Uncle Ralph, Tim Mize, I'm Terry. Thanks to Tobin On for producing our broadcast. That is it for Sports Saturday. And, of course, for all of our high school sports schedules and broadcast of Cardinal Baseball and Fighting Illini Football, which is coming up very soon, you can check our website at WSMIRadio.com. We'll not only have high school football games on here on FM 106, but on the Aux 105.
And if you're looking for something to do today, Butler's Words at
WSMI FM, Litchfield Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. It's 10 o'clock.